All right, today I'm going to present on Rotalinus reniformis dispersal patterns and population fluctuations in a soil profile, and also the potential influence of rainfall to affect the spread. In Alabama, the reniform nematode was reported first in 1958, and from that time until 2001, it spread into 24 counties in the state, and is still spreading. It's become the most widespread pathogen in the state and most costly. Loss estimates average greater than 7% since 2000, which is equal to greater than $19 million annually on average. The objectives that we wanted to do with this project was to inoculate certain rows within a field that had not previously had reniform and watch them spread. So the first objective was to watch the horizontal and vertical spread over time from the initial point of inoculation in irrigated and non-irrigated conditions. The results of this were presented here last year, and I'll highlight those to move into the second objective, which is to observe the population fluctuations associated with the spread. And finally, the last objective is a trial that we did to evaluate if rainfall would affect the vertical movement of nematodes introduced to the surface of soil. The field trials were set up in 2007 at Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center. It's in North Alabama. We set up one irrigated and one non-irrigated trial, as you can see here on the map. And both trials were laid out in a randomized complete block design with five replications. The soil type that we did the trial in was a Decatur silt loam. Its sand, silt, and clay percentages, you can see, is 23, 49, 28, but it can reach up to 70% clay content in the lower horizons. We planted our test using the Delton Pinelands 444 Bogard Roundup Ready Cotton and planted it with a four-row vacuum planter. And we injected our nematodes in with the infurl spray applicator you can see here. To collect our data, we would take 3 1¾-inch diameter by 36-inch core samples from four rows in each replication at planting and at harvest each season. And we would sample the top 6 inches every 30 days throughout the season. We would sample in the row and 20 inches from each row, which is halfway in between the two rows. This is an illustration of our sampling scheme for one replication. The red rows here, if I can find my mouse, indicated where we inoculated the nematodes. The yellow lines are the other rows in the test. The orange dotted lines would represent halfway between each row. The green dotted lines would be 10 inches outside of each row. And then the blue circles illustrate where we took our core samples. For the third objective, to monitor the how rainfall would influence the vertical movement, we collected 3-inch diameter by 36-inch long core samples adjacent to the same fields that we were doing our field test in, and checked it to ensure there were no reniform. And then we inoculated reniform to the top 2 inches and had 4 different treatments of different rainfall amounts, which are no rain, 1 inch, 3 inch, and 5 inches. We let them sit for 48 hours and evaluated them. Our data analysis was done using generalized linear models, using this formula here: count equals sampling date plus distance times sampling date, and we would output our coefficients into Excel to generate our graphs. The 2007 results for the movement, the horizontal movement, are seen here. The graphs to the right show the log normal counts on the x-axis. The y-axis would be distance from the inoculated row here at zero. The blue line is 60 days after planting. As you can see in the top, the vermiform females and juveniles had moved, about a half row away on either side. And the males on the bottom graph had moved almost 2 rows away from the inoculated row. At 90 days after planting, shown with the green line, the vermiform females and juveniles had moved to nearly 1 row away, and the males had not moved any farther. But if you notice, the population here is lowest in the inoculated row for the males and continue to rise the further out that you moved. Sorry, trying to move the mouse. And at 120 days after planting, the females and juveniles had not moved any farther, but the populations continued to rise. The males regressed some, but the highest populations were still the furthest from the inoculated row. This is just another illustration of a rep. You can see where the cotton rows were in the whole numbers, and the half numbers were halfway in between the rows. The red denotes finding females and juveniles and males, and the green is males only. This just shows how far they had moved, so you can get a better idea. As the vertical movement at the end of 2007, row 1 and row 5 would be where we put the nematodes, and 3 and 7 is where they were not originally inoculated. You can see that, again, the red denotes the females and juveniles and males, and the green is males only. And you can see they spread throughout the profile and the entire test. The populations of all nematodes are evaluated here. You can see this is the inoculated row, and moving either side from it, the distance be a quarter row, a half row, and one row, and so forth. And the colors at the bottom will illustrate the number of reniform per 150 centimeters cubed of soil. And this was our population at planting, of course, for the nematodes only in the inoculated row. And this is what we expected to see eventually, with the peak populations in the inoculated row and peaks coming, smaller and smaller peaks coming with each row you move out. So at 30 days after planting in the irrigated trial, you can see that the nematodes have remained around the inoculated row within 20 inches of each side, concentrated around the root mass. At 90 days after planting in 2007, you can see that the nematodes have moved out a little more than one row on each side, but the highest populations seem to be centered around the cotton rows. And at 120 days after planting, they'd spread even farther, and the populations continued to rise, with the highest populations still being in the originally inoculated row. The non-irrigated trial in 2007 was very similar to the irrigated trial as far as the populations and their movement. You can see, just like the irrigated trial, they had remained about the root mass of the inoculated row. At 90 days, again, they had moved one row away, with the population spiking in the rows. And at 120 days, we're very near to what we expected to see here as far as the population rise, the spikes coming in the cotton rows. The summary for 2007, you can see the irrigated on top and non-irrigated on bottom. They're very similar, with the populations behaving about like we expected them to. For 2008, at planting, the populations were found only again in the inoculated row. This is the same test as from 2007, yet we found in the inoculated row was the only place we found. But at 30 days after planting, when the cotton started to grow, the nematodes really showed up, and you can see they're spread throughout the whole trial, with the populations again spiking within the cotton rows. At 90 days after planting, the inoculated row really had high populations, which were the nematodes that had been there for almost two full seasons. And at harvest in the irrigated trial, you can see again they spiked in rows at the inoculated row and two rows away. The non-irrigated populations were even lower at planting than the irrigated, but still we found them only in the row inoculated in the previous season. But again, at 30 days they showed up, and the populations again spike in the rows. At 90 days, again the populations are spiked in the rows. And at harvest, they're spiked again at the inoculated row and in the second row. The vertical movement for 2008 at planting, you can see the row 1 and row 5 was where we inoculated them the previous year. That's where we found them. And then at harvest, you can see the highest populations in the inoculated row, but they had spread throughout the profile again. And the non-irrigated trial, again, they found in the originally inoculated rows, rows 1 and 5, and then the highest populations again being within the originally inoculated row. And these didn't spread quite as well as they had in the irrigated trial, but they were still throughout the profile. The overall populations for 2007 and 2008 are shown here for the irrigated trial. And you can see from 30 to 120 days, the populations continued to rise in both years and then dropped off at harvest. So if you take harvest out of this graph, you can see the linear population growth. In 2007, it was near perfectly linear with 0.973 as R-squared. It's not as close in 2008, but it's still very close to linear with the R-squared of 0.89. The non-irrigated trial was a little different because it did not have plenty of rainfall. So you can see on the left is the graph for the reniform population. On the right is the graph of the amounts of rainfall in between sampling dates. And if you look at the curve, you can see they're almost identical with the populations rising and falling as the rainfall. Again, this happened in 2008. You can see the curves are nearly identical with populations and rainfall being correlated together. This slide is the results of the rainfall test we did. You can see the columns on the left-hand side that we collected. And this will show the percentage of population that we recovered for each rainfall amount. So you can see here, the green was 0 inches of rainfall, 100% of the reniform were found in the 0 to 6 depth category. With 1 inch of rainfall, nearly 100% are still in the top 6 inches, but down here you can see a small spike in the 6 to 12 inch category. For 3 inches, it's the same. There's just a few more found in the 6 to 12 inch category, but with 5 inches of rainfall, you can see the red column is moved. You can see that they had moved throughout the profile at a small number. It was still a little more than 90% remained in the 0 to 6 inch depth where we put them, but it did disperse them some throughout the profile. So the summary is that Rhodolincus reniformis populations did develop about as we had expected they would. They grew the highest within the rows and developed uniformly, or fairly uniformly, on either side of the originally inoculated row throughout the 2 years. The second conclusion was that Rhodolincus reniformis population development was closely related to rainfall in the non-irrigated trials in the 2 years that we were observing it. And finally, the single rainfall event minimally aided in the distribution of Rhodolincus reniformis throughout the soil profile. We believe it's mostly through micro and macro pore flow, as there were so few that were actually transported through the columns. And with that, I'll take any of your questions.
Probably get 2 minutes, so go ahead.
About two. Dr. Gasway.
Well, now, based on all this 2 years' work, what would you recommend as far as when to sample in regards to rainfall?
We found many more when it was not dry. When they're just after a rain event or after irrigation, when you sample, it's easier to get higher populations. Sir?
How many probes per plot do you take, and what's the maximum to get accuracy when you're sampling for nematodes?
How many samples did we take per plot?
Yeah.
We sampled with foot probes for each replication in each row, but I think we took 200 samples per plot. So that was 8 rows, 5 replications, I think. We took 200 samples for each trial. But as far as accuracy, we were just trying to get as many as we could just to see if we could see everything we could see. That's what I was trying to say.
One quick one more.
Yes, sir.
How much do you think the population occurrence horizontally and vertically reflect root development in those areas?
Okay, the question was how much do I think that the, what was
well,
it?
Obviously, as the root system develops, it's developing
right
downward as well as outward. How
exactly.
How much do those population reflections, in terms of when they occur in the population, reflect root development in those areas?
Okay, his question was how much the population reflect the root development. And I think it's very closely developed, as far as the larger the cotton got, the further out they moved and continued to move out each row as the roots became closer together for every generation.
All right. That's good. We're going to have to move on to the next speaker, but go ahead and answer him on your own if you don't mind.
Okay. No. Thank you.
Okay. No. Very good.